We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than 2 decades of experience, with the simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelancer profiles, and get help drafting a job post or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them and take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's UPWORK.com, Upwork.com.
I'm Gary Hayes, and this is Dropshot.
It's Thursday, July the 4th. Wimbledon is progressing through its first week and something magical is about to happen there. I'm sat in my garden and there's not a cloud in the sky, as birdsong and the midsummer sun make me forget the weeks of rain I've endured on the tennis road. Now all I remember is how much I fell in love with tennis again. Wimbledon is always marvellous to watch, but this year it is even more so because I've met many of the players and have watched them perform through the summer building up to this moment. I'm suffering from the tennis bends and wish I was on hand to talk to them as the grass court season reaches its climax. I watch out for particular players, and the best result this week was Jay Clark coming through in 4 sets against Noah Rubin. This sets up a mouth-watering second-round clash against Roger Federer. I've just seen the players head onto court on TV, and a familiar face was taking his seat in the crowd. Who was it? It was none other than Gary Hayes. So how did he get there?
Come on, Gary! Come on!
One of us had to go for this moment, and thanks to Jay's brother and coach, Kirk Clark, providing tickets, Gary set off for Wimbledon to watch the game and report for Dropshot on Clark versus Federer. This is the magic of tennis. I think back to those early days of summer at Surbiton where we first saw Jay play this year. Now, here we are, court number one at Wimbledon against possibly the greatest player that ever played the game. We've spent time with Jay and Kurt at all the summer's tournaments. We've documented a practice session with Francis Tiafoe at the National Tennis Centre. We've journeyed to Derby, where they live and train. And we've met some of the team and family, including his unforgettable dad, Errol, and his sister, Yaz.
When my sister played, she was the first one to reach a good level in my family at tennis. So almost, it's not like bad to say, but everything that she or my parents did wrong with her, they kind of put right with me. And, you know, we learned so fast because my parents were blind going into tennis. Like, they never played past, like, club level. And then, obviously, Yaz, my sister, you know, played tennis for a year, was being, you know, invited on GB trips and all these things. So my parents learned a lot about rackets and obviously helped a lot as well because Yaz was obviously the player and Yaz was learning constantly, you know, playing matches, where to play, you know, learning the differences between the surfaces, how you should train, you know, all these things. And then Yaz passed all this information on to me.
We've chatted with the brothers in hotels, players' lounges and straight after matches and waited hours for respite from descending rain to see Jay play. We've discovered the tricky journey he's already made to get to where he is today and found out a little as to what makes him tick as a player.
Yeah, I got to a really good level. And one of the sponsors actually dropped out through, you know, a circumstance, and we couldn't afford to keep funding, like keep buying the membership at the place we were training at. So that stopped. So obviously the gym, like the swimming pool, all these things that I had access to stopped. The tournaments got cut. So we were training outdoors, and yeah, we're always trying to stay ready. It was tough seeing a lot of the guys that I was beating a few months ago playing, you know, junior slams off wild cards, you know, going deep in futures, knowing that I was as good as them, but I wasn't getting those chances.
We've witnessed injuries, learned a little of his hopes and dreams, and admired his dedication to his chosen profession.
I knew I was good, and a lot of people obviously told me, and the things I'd achieved, you know, up until the age of even 14, you know, some people would obviously dream to do. And we were always kind of smart about the sport. We knew a lot of things. People were playing longer. Obviously, being British helps because there's a lot of good opportunities that, you know, brands and, you know, cool companies want to be associated with you as well. So I was never going to stop. It was just one of those things, you know, how long do we wait? And obviously, it's tough at that age because you just want to play.
Jay deserves to succeed. But as I've discovered, tennis is a ruthless master and the Clarks take nothing for granted. Acceptance is key, as Kurt once told us.
You know, when I actually coach him, I talk to him a lot about acceptance of situations or, you know, things that go on. You know, sometimes maybe get a bad call or it's going to rain or it's super windy. And I think because we've always made Jay that way, and, you know, my dad obviously instilled that as when we were kids as well. We grew up at a very windy club and he said, you know, you learn how to deal with the conditions, you know, the environment, use it to your advantage or, you know, those kind of things. I think Jay's grown up having a lot of acceptance of things going on around him. So, you know, the things that go on today, you know, he'll try and rest or prepare himself as best as possible, but he'll also get on there and say to himself, okay, if it doesn't go well straight away, you know, that's fine and I'll get into it later on.
And Jay and Kurt are incredibly close. It's not the normal player-coach relationship.
Kurt's my best friend. There's only 3 years between us, so we're really close. Growing up, we did everything together. There was one period, unless we were sick, we didn't miss a day for like 6 years, and we were practicing every day together, playing the same tournaments. So for a lot of people, I imagine it's tough for their siblings to coach them and, you know, to switch off, as in they're not brother and sister or brother and brother anymore, they're brother and coach or player and coach. But for me, it's always been easy because before my brother was coaching me, it was my sister, and before my sister, it was my dad. So it's always been in the family for me.
Kurt has played a major part in our journey. He's been amazing all summer and has kept us in the loop with what's been going on while being a monumental guide for us through the tennis world. If it wasn't for him, we would never have been able to follow the Clarks throughout the summer. And this is why Gary Hayes, Dropshot's London correspondent, has travelled to the land of strawberries and cream, Wimbledon SW19, to report on Jay Clark's match with Roger Federer. It's over to Gary and the story of the day.
Good afternoon, welcome to the queue.
Thanks.
Good afternoon, welcome to the queue. Yeah, so. Afternoon, welcome to the queue, straight down to the yellow flag.
You can just go across there.
Excellent. So we're in the Wimbledon queue with Charles from Geneva.
Geneva?
The giveaway was the Swiss soccer top.
It's amazing to be here. I've never come to Wimbledon before, so queuing was fun. I expect being in the grounds will be more fun.
So you can't get tickets for court number one, but I'm assuming you're here to support Roger Federer.
Absolutely. He has been, one of my idols for as long as I can remember.
It'd be a little bit stupid to ask what his reputation's like in Switzerland, but what is his reputation like in Switzerland?
We laugh because we like to say that we support Federer and Wawrinka equally, but when Federer plays Wawrinka, everyone's rooting for the same person.
So the reason I'm talking to you is because Federer today is he's on court number one, second on, against Jay Clark. Jay is a British number four. What do you make of his chances against the great Roger Federer today?
Oh, I mean, I think it's always great to see British players winning at Wimbledon, so that's really exciting for the home crowd. But on grass against the greatest grass player of all time, I don't love his chances.
You do realise as well that today is 19 years ago to the day that, or was it 18? It is 18 years ago to the day that Roger Federer played Tim Henman, mm-hmm. having beaten Sampras, but Henman beat him. Maybe it's an omen.
It could be. I hope not for everybody watching in Switzerland and Swiss fans here today.
Have you ever heard of Jay Clark?
Jay Clark, I have not.
Today he is playing, he's the British number four.
Ah, okay.
And he's playing Roger Federer.
Oh, Ah, yes.
So I'm assuming you're not here to see Jay?
No.
What are you here for?
I'm here for to see the event from the States.
So you're in the queue. I guess you don't get court number one tickets, do you?
No, I wish I did.
So where have you travelled from?
United States, New Jersey.
New Jersey, I've just been there.
You were just there?
Mm.
Oh.
Just at the weekend for
really?
Pride, yeah. Oh. Well, I went to Jersey because I went to the Prudential Center in Newark.
Yeah. That's very close to where I am.
Where in New Jersey?
Essex County. Montclair.
Montclair. I'm not sure I know
12 miles west of Manhattan.
Ah, right. Okay, so you go out west. I was in Asbury Park in April as well.
Yep.
That's nice place.
That's nice down there. Nice in the summer.
It is, for sure. You're here just for Wimbledon, but who are your favourite players?
Well, of course I like Federer. Let's see. And I like Djokovic also, though.
What about the Americans? Taylor Fritz did well last week in Eastbourne.
But I'm not actually rooting just for an American to win. I like that young girl, the 15-year-old.
Who's also playing mixed doubles with Jay.
Yeah.
So you'll probably see a lot of him.
I hope so.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay, so what was your name?
Joe.
Joe, well, enjoy your Wimbledon experience, Joe.
Thank you very much. Yes, it is. I didn't want to miss it. I was on my way to Oxford and decided this morning at 5:30 that I should come here.
Good. Yeah. Lena, my trusted intern from New York.
Yeah, I'm from New York. Hey, American Julie. Pride. 4th of July. Happy 4th of July.
Oh, here we go. Happy July to you also.
How can you forget?
It's the first one I've missed.
You're in Britain for Independence Day. The madness of King George and everything else, and you forget.
Yeah.
So she went to Oxford recently. Did you enjoy it?
I actually didn't get to go.
Oh, there you go. See, I told her not to go. Anyway.
All right.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
He's the British number four. He's playing Roger Federer today.
I feel like I've heard of him, yeah.
So, but you don't know who he is?
I recognise the name. Yeah,
no,
I do.
We're
sort
not really
of...
tennis players.
I don't know.
You're not tennis fans?
No, we like
no,
tennis.
No, we are tennis fans, but we're not really like
don't know
the people.
No, I do, but I've never heard of him.
Oh.
Should we watch
you should be watching him.
Yeah, we will.
Up and coming star.
Really?
A youngster.
Next Andy Murray.
Or the first Jay Clark, depends what your depends what your persuasion is.
Yeah.
What do you make of the queue then, Lena? Now you've experienced it.
It's absolutely insane. I've never seen a line this long for anything, in all seriousness.
The thing is, where we are here, they're only at the road. They've still got to go all the way down the road.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. All of these people are crazy.
And that's Wimbledon.
Yeah, apparently.
So you're here for the tennis?
I'm here for the tennis. What else is there to be here for?
Are you queuing or have you got tickets?
No, I've got tickets.
To?
Centre court.
Oh, so you're not on court number one where Federer is playing?
Where he's playing Jay Clark, yeah.
Mm. So what do you make of the fact that we've got a young Brit? He's the number four, British number four,
mm-hmm.
but he's rising up the rankings gradually.
Yes. What do I make of what the
well,
fact...
Well, I was going to say, what do you make of the fact that there's a young Brit on a show court today playing against possibly the greatest player of all time.
I think that's a marvellous thing. Long may it continue. By the way, he's not the only young Brit. Cameron Norrie is also playing this afternoon, isn't he, on the centre court?
I know, but I was just talking about Jay because obviously it's Federer and the glamour of playing Federer.
Oh, OK. Well, you know, that's true, but Cameron Norrie is playing the number 8 seed as well. So,
no Federer.
What? There is only one Roger Federer. That much I completely agree with you.
But
so I hope he does really well. I don't expect he thinks he's going to win, but it will be great experience for him.
Although it was 18 years ago today that Henman played a young Roger Federer and beat him.
Was it really 18 years ago?
After he beat
Sampras. You've got your facts together.
I know.
Which is more than I have.
Independence Day and everything.
I think he might lose in three sets, but there'll be no shame in that because there are lots of very, very good players losing three sets to Roger Federer on grass.
Although Lloyd Harris took a set off him on Tuesday.
See, he's got all the facts. Oh, he took the first set, but Federer was just warming up, wasn't he?
And then you see the score after and it was like 6-1, 6-1,
6-2. He was just warming up.
Yeah.
Okay. And my expectation is that today Federer will probably win in three sets.
And just looking at British tennis is a wider issue. What do you make of the fact that you say about Cam as well, and we've got these younger players coming through. Dan Evans is still in it, but he's a little bit older.
Still Evans.
But
Carl Edmund had a bit of a problem yesterday, didn't he, which was disappointing. But it's fantastic and encouraging. I'd like to see more British players in the top 50. And maybe it'll happen.
There seems to be a bit of a future without Andy Murray, maybe. Maybe not a guy who's going to win Grand Slams, but someone who can certainly
I think we'll probably have to wait a little while to get someone of Andy Murray's stature in tennis again. But, hey, I think there's a lot more interest and enthusiasm at the grassroots than there was 10, 15 years ago, so that has to be a good thing.
Sorry, what was your name?
My name's Jeremy.
Jeremy, thanks for your time there.
Yeah, appreciate great. Nice Cheers. To see you.
Yeah, those ones are, yeah. Unless you want to get a Panama one.
Which one? Panama, all these ones.
These ones to the left of me. They're the unisex.
You're taking one of these. Oh, right.
Would you like a Panama hat?
James Tennerman is better.
Guys, could you just say your names into the microphone?
Maureen Durham.
Ron Durham.
Lloyd Wint.
So we've just had the privilege of watching Jay play against Roger Federer, court number one at Wimbledon.
Yeah.
What did you make of his performance?
He played really well, I thought. We saw him on Tuesday, and he was serving much better today than he did on Tuesday. But yeah, he worked really hard.
Disappointed that he lost, but he's proved that he can play at this level and against one of the greatest players ever, if not the greatest. And the second set could have gone either way. I mean, I think now, because he can play at the level, hopefully he'll move on and move up.
Yeah, I think he's done really well. He kept himself in the rallies, which is really good to see. 15, 16 shot rallies, you know, and he won some of those, which is really, you know, great effort. Second serve sometimes let him down a little bit, you know, but he's got to work on that.
I think that we had some people from Federer's entourage in front of us, and the fact they started talking about Jay in that second set, asking questions about him, just is testament to the performance.
Oh, definitely, yeah. They were obviously interested in, you know, how he was, what his ranking was and all that sort of thing. So, yeah, they were quite interested in him.
They were quite surprised about his age as well. They obviously thought he was older, and you could tell they must have been impressed, because they started shouting, come on, Roger, come on, Roger. So, you know, he's obviously made an impression on them.
I think they're also interested in his ranking. I think they probably thought he was higher ranked than he actually is at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a good performance. I mean, he's done really well today. He's got the rest of the week to go. Mixed doubles coming. So, yeah, I mean, he can impress again, I'm sure. You know, good future coming.
I'm sure he'll build on that because I could give him the confidence, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just lastly, for the Clark family, what a proud moment to see Jay on court one.
Yeah, it really is. I went outside, and when I was waiting to come back in, they were showing the family in the box, and they looked really proud. Yeah.
Well, we're from Derby, and we went home yesterday from Wimbledon. Errol phoned us last night. And we were proud that he invited us to come today. So, you know, we're really proud of all of them. Congratulations, Team Clark.
Yeah, I mean, Team Clark, they've done really well. Yasmin and, you know, it's a family effort. They're all involved in it. They all travel together. Yeah, and we've known them for years. So it's a proud moment just to be, you know, to know them and carry on their success, really.
Yeah.
And I tell you something else. Derby should be proud and Derby should bloody promote Jay and the family more than what they do, especially the bloody tennis in Derby.
Especially on the day that Derby's lost Frank Lampard.
Yeah. but they've gained Jay Clark.
We've always had Jay Clark. We've always had the Clark family.
Can I just say, you guys know Errol much better than me, but out of everyone in this whole arena, there was one person that looked the most comfortable. As we looked across at the players' box, Errol just sat there, a man in his element, sat back. It's almost like he's been waiting for this moment.
Yes,
well, he has been. He has been. And I'm sure there'll be many more moments as well.
Definitely. I mean, the fact that he's made it from Derby down here with his health issues at the minute, brilliant, you know, because when I rang them last night, he was in bed early, He went out for a meal, but he just couldn't hack the pace. And his walking stick today, which he doesn't always use, but obviously he's feeling it a bit. So, yeah, I don't know if he'll stay all week, you know, but his coach, you know, Yasmin and Kurt will be here, I'm sure, all week.
So, Kurt, we sat outside centre court on the concourse at Wimbledon. Jay's just come off court against Roger, where he lost in straight sets, but he came close to taking one off him in the second. How did you sum up that performance?
Yeah, obviously I'm still processing a little bit. Only just finished. With a lot of positives, obviously, in the match. Did a lot of things very, very well. Obviously, it was a big learning experience for me and for Jay. I'm sure he's going to take a lot for it, and as am I. But yeah, it was a positive performance from Jay.
Talk to me about your late nights. You've been staying up to 4 a.m. for this.
Yeah, I've been staying up to 4 a.m. just to, you know, plan as much as I could for this match. Look, you know, things we could maybe do against Roger, where his strengths are, you know, maybe where Jay's weaknesses are, how we can hide them well. Just like I do with every single match, but obviously spending a bit more time on this one because it's harder to find those weaknesses and those, maybe not weaknesses, but those areas you can maybe expose or, you know, things like that.
And we could see there was a game plan out there. Can you give us a bit more insight into that and how you approached it with Jay?
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously a game plan. I don't have to go into too much detail because Jay will probably play him again at some point, and hopefully he's a bit more ready for it next time. He's not overawed by the occasion as well, and we can do it better. So I don't want to say too much on this.
So how's he feeling in the locker room now? Because that's a performance that he can be proud of. You know, I was saying before we started talking that Jay's a winner, so he's not going to be completely satisfied, but he's just gone toe to toe with one of the greatest players ever.
As you said, he's a winner. I went down there and saw him, and he was kind of neutral almost. He wasn't down and he wasn't up. And I asked him a couple of questions, and I could see he was already processing the match. He's already thinking about how he can get better, how he can get back here next year. I can see it in his mind. Obviously, we have that connection, which is I'm very lucky, obviously, to have with my brother. But yeah, I could see he's not down at all. He's kind of just thinking about them, you know, next year or the next week or whatever, how he can use this performance.
What's happened since Nottingham? Because the weather messed things up at Queen's a bit, and then it was, you know, his performance at Eastbourne. We know he can do better than that. But here at Wimbledon, he's just been switched on. He had a great performance in the first round to win his first singles match here, and then he plays Federer, and I think the first and third set, if you look at the score, it tells a different story to the actual reality of the match, and that Jay, those sets were closer than the actual scoreline. But what's happened since Eastbourne and now? Because he seems like a different player and he seems more confident.
Well, Jay's made for the big stage every single year, you know. Sometimes he's actually coming to this with no matches, sometimes he's coming into it with a few matches. But Jay is a big match player. He loves the big occasion, he loves the crowds. He loves playing at this place. You know, the courts suit him, the balls suit him. He seems to play slightly different here as well, if I'm honest. The balls seem to play slightly heavier. And Jay, you know, where Jay's had his, I don't know, tournament wins and his best results, actually he plays with a heavier ball. So I think that also favours him, as well as his confidence here, you know.
And he did look a little bit nervous at the start, but then by the end of it, he looked really comfortable on court number one. And you say he's made for these big tournaments. Do you think that in years to come that he's going to be comfortable in this environment, that we're going to get used to it?
I think he already is comfortable. I've never seen him get nervous, you know, for an occasion. Never, ever. He always lives up to the occasion. I think that's one of his best qualities, to be honest. Not a lot of players have that. Jay's actually one of those who does. So it's good. It's good.
So what was your preparation like last night coming into this? Because this is the biggest game that you guys were prepared for, right?
Yeah, I mean, go through your rituals, your routines, you know, try to do all your recovery stuff, prepare as best you can, talk about the match last night, talk about it a bit today as well, but that's all you can really do, the same as you always would. Because also, you don't want to go too much away from that. If you start doing things you wouldn't normally do, then you're not going to be successful in this match, you're not going to be successful in any match. You've got to be doing things the same. You know, tennis is 365 days a year, not just one day where you play Roger Federer.
What are those, without giving secrets away, what are those rituals and routines that you normally follow then before a match?
You know, good sleep, good food. Jay actually doesn't like to eat too much food before he goes on because he feels heavy. So that's kind of, you know, we have to be specific about what he eats. You know, lots of greens, lots of chicken, maybe that's about it. also, you know, using his thing, he's got like a Compex and stuff. It's like, it's for recovery, pain relief, rehabilitation. He uses that every single night. So obviously he's got a very physical game, but just doing the basics, you know, things everyone else is doing as well.
And of all the people on court number one, I know we're talking about Jay here, but there was one man that looked the most comfortable out of everyone, Errol Clark.
Yeah, Dad loves it. Dad's also made for the big stage. You know, Dad's living his dreams through Jay, I think, now. So it's funny.
Because it's funny, we were sat opposite and I was looking when the sun was there and there was just this guy leaning forward who just looked completely comfortable with it. And I was like, oh, look, there's Errol. And he just stood out.
I think it's nice. Obviously, you know, we've had a tough couple of years with health. So to get these moments, it's amazing. To see, you know, I know obviously Jay's the one playing, but we kind of made it. You know, we're his sons. It's a great moment, actually. He's obviously proud of us.
And that's what I was going to say, just to finish this off, really, is that Jay's lost, but what a moment for the Clark family at Wimbledon.
Yeah, you know, if you told us that we were going to have this moment 3 or 4 years ago, we definitely would have signed for it, you know, straight away. Jay obviously played the juniors here, and yeah, obviously he was maybe 15 in the world, but he didn't go so well, and yeah, there's been an astronomical climb for Jay, and you know, for the whole family, so it's really good.
So mixed doubles, Jay's playing with Coco Gauff. How did that come about? Because he was going to play with Harriet, right?
Yeah, he was going to play with Harriet, but obviously that, I don't know how that changed or when that changed. He just came up to me maybe a night or two ago and said to me, you know, I'm playing with Coco Gauff, and I said, obviously, that's a great opportunity. You know, she's obviously a great player. It's obviously, you guys have been friends for a while now. I think we went to a Drake concert maybe last year sometime, somewhere, you know. And so they're obviously close friends. It's good.
And I guess for Jay, that's great for him to be playing with a player that's just beaten Venus Williams. That doesn't happen all the time, right?
Yeah, and I think also, you know, Coco's also equally, you know, happy about their partnerships, which is good, because I think it should be that way, you know. Obviously, otherwise, it's a bit strange, to be honest.
Because I think what I like about it as well is that, without getting too political about it, you've got two young, up-and-coming black players in a sport that is so predominantly white, but you're seeing these people that are making a change, and it's such a positive thing to see.
Yeah, like I said before, you see a lot more of that anyway. The Yema brothers, Michael Moe, TFO, it's great for the sport. You know, there should be diversity in the sport. It's perfect for the sport.
And it's good to see that positivity coming at Wimbledon, where I know Jay's obviously in Derby, but it's his home Grand Slam, and having Coco with him as well, it's just this different dynamic that people aren't maybe used to seeing. And in 2019, with all the stuff going on in the world, I think it's such a positive thing to see.
It's good to have a variety of players in different countries playing together as well. I think that's really, really nice.
So do you think he can go to the semi-finals like he did last year? Maybe one better?
You never know. Coco's obviously very good. Jay's obviously very good. You never, ever know. But it's a strong field this year. You've also got Venus Williams and TFO as well. So it's all to play for.
Imagine when he comes out against Serena and Andy.
Yeah, I know, yeah. If they get there, mate, come on. First round first.
So I'm allowed to dream, you're not. You've got to be realistic.
No, I'm not a dreamer. I'm a realist, mate.
I sensed he was a bit nervous in the beginning, you know, with his double faults in the first game. Did he serve 2 or 3 double faults? That's the only way I can tell if he's nervous. I'm not going to put my hand on his chest and check is the pulse higher or not, you know. I can't do that, so it's only through maybe mistakes that you can actually tell if he's nervous or not. And double faults usually is the biggest way to tell. I felt like after that he got into it, you know. He had break points, you know, to get back, and I think those were big for him. For me to pull away and go 4-1, 5-1, I think that was the end of that first set, and gave me everything I needed to know for the rest of the match. And then in the second set, I think he did very well to stay with me. Every time he got a little bit close in his service games, he was able to produce something special. He had his chances in the breaker, you know, where I donated him a missed volley and he could have pulled away, but I was able to come back right away. But you know, I liked what I saw in Jay. I mean, I still think playing on grass, I don't know if it's his favorite surface or not. It seems like he doesn't mind longer extended rallies, so maybe grass is not quite his maybe number one surface, but whose favorite surface is grass anyhow? We don't have enough time to really practice on this kind of a surface, but you know, I hope he keeps working hard, and then results are going to show how good he is.
How you feeling then, Jay?
Bit disappointed, but I did my best today, and yeah, I think that was all I could do.
See, I was saying to Kurt, and we were speaking before, I was like, I wouldn't be disappointed. But I know, obviously, it's different. You're a sportsman, but you're playing against one of the greatest players ever. I think the first and third sets don't really tell the true story, but that second set, you know, you had Roger going there.
Yeah, and that's why I'm a bit disappointed. Obviously, the first set I had 3 game points early on to kind of like settle the match, 1-1. He played a couple of good points, I played a couple of loose points, and yeah, the set kind of ran away, and I don't think I did too much wrong. But like you say, when you do play the best in the world, you don't get 2 chances a set. You get the one. If you take it, then obviously there's no guarantee that you'll keep the lead, but at least you're close on the scoreline. Yeah, in the second set, I definitely did a much better job of protecting my serve. And again, start of the third, I started with a double fault, and then 3 winners went past me. And then, yeah, it literally goes that fast. That's what's tough.
How do you play against Federer? How do you prepare to play against him?
You have to make sure, obviously, you're in a good place physically and mentally going into the match. I don't believe that there's one person that I can't beat, or at least take close with how I play. I'm not easy to put away, and yeah, I believe that you've got to hit a lot of winners to beat me, because I won't miss a whole lot, and I'll keep the match competitive. But obviously, I think he did hit those winners today, and that's what he had to do.
I was sat with your cousin Alex, and we were chatting throughout, and we were just saying about, I don't know what it was like facing it, but it seemed like his serve today was just a speed that he doesn't normally hit it at.
Yeah, to be honest, I was a bit angry when I saw that as well. Everyone was saying, yeah, it's normally around 110.
Like 125?
Yeah, they were, like, bigger. But obviously, that's a good thing for me, that he felt probably he had to do that. Like, it wasn't just good enough to play a slightly slower serve. So I made him hit aces. And yeah, my goal getting into the match was to try and not get ace that much. Like, always get a racket on the board just to let him know that, you know, it does have to be a bigger serve, and like, I'm not going to just throw in cheap points, especially in his games. Like, he will have to earn those games as well. I thought I did a good job of that.
Do you think then maybe he was worried about you returning and him getting in? Because you got into some rallies with him and you competed on those rallies as well, because there was a few of them where you made him, he hit it into the net a couple of times, and then, you know, he seemed to look a little bit shaky at times.
Thank you. Yeah, I don't know. I back myself against, I'd say, 95% of the players on the tour from the baseline. It's the serve and return. That's where the big guys make such a big impact in the sport. And I think, yeah, I don't know. I saw a stat that he's the guy that's hit the most aces ever. And obviously, if you're saying his size, it's tough to see how until you play him. And then you really do, obviously, see a lot of balls flying past you.
So what was the whole experience like? Because it didn't look like you were daunted or anything like that, but it looked like, obviously, you could see that it was Roger Federer playing, but how was it for you overall? Because I guess what I'm getting at is saying that you must feel like you belong when you know you can play against Federer and compete against him.
Yeah, and to be honest, that was the biggest thing. Like, everyone always says, oh, you're playing Federer, you're playing Andy, you're playing these guys. And I guess until you play him, you don't really know where your game's at, because, you know, I could have been out in the first round, and then again, it's another year. Would I have got this opportunity to play Federer? Probably not. And I don't know how many more times I'll obviously get to play him before he stops. But no, I'm really happy with the performance I did today. Like I said, I gave my best, and I pushed him to a tiebreak, and that was my goal going into the match, get him to a tiebreak and see what happened.
Did you feel the goodwill in court one? Because a lot of people, it's Wimbledon, they turn up and they want to see Federer. But then as you're pushing him in that second set, there were a lot of people where it turned a bit and they wanted you to take that set. Did you feel that?
Yeah, to be honest, I felt the energy from the crowd, and that was something that I haven't felt before. Obviously, I had it a bit in mixed doubles last year, but it's not the same, because I wouldn't class myself as a doubles player. And obviously, there's 4 people on the court, and I played pretty relaxed, mixed doubles especially. So, the fact that obviously everyone was cheering, like, Jay. Everyone was cheering Jay. Not as much as we're cheering Roger, obviously, but no, I really enjoyed that.
Because one thing from us, so I was sat there with a few of your dad's friends as well, and where we were, there was some of Roger's people in front of us. And after that second set, they turned round and they said to us, "So you're with Jay?" And we said, "Yeah, yeah." And they went, "Who is he? Who is this guy?" And we started saying, we're like, "Look, he's 20. And they were like, "He's only 20. And they couldn't believe your ranking. And they were just like, "We haven't seen many people play against Roger like this."
Yeah. No, and that's the thing. When you play against the big guys, who have obviously been so dominant at the top of the sport, it's tough not to be overwhelmed. And a lot of players go out there and they try and do stuff that's not natural to them and go for stuff that they probably don't believe they can make, but they feel like they have to go for it because it's Roger. And that's one thing I said to my team the other day, is like, as soon as I saw the draw, if I get through, like, I'm just going to play my game. I don't really want to go too into detail about, you know, he's going to do this, he's going to do this, because if I look after my side, that's all I really want to figure out. Because then, yeah, you have a better indicator of your level, what you need to work on, you know, what's actually holding it well. And yeah, I'm pretty happy with actually one of the areas that I thought I needed to work on was probably the best thing today. So,
and I thought you played really aggressive against him, where, again, this is something Kurt and I were chatting about, but I love it when you come to the net and you know, you're playing those winning points there, and it was almost like you were in his face a bit.
Yeah. No, I think it's important to take to those guys, obviously. They're not easy to intimidate, and I'm not sure if I did or I didn't do that today, but I think I won more points coming to the net than I lost, and that was a big thing, because obviously he's not only one of the best players from the baseline, he's also one of the best players from all around the court. So the fact that I was actually holding my own, coming forwards, able to put my game on the court, all through the match, but mainly through the second set, that's huge for me.
And as you left the court, what did Roger say when you, at the end of the match, and you had a little embrace over the net?
Yeah, he just said, "I've got a bright future, and he wished me all the best for the rest of the season." It's tough, because obviously you don't get much time at the net, but I wish I could have spoke to him more, to be honest.
And then you were signing autographs for people at the end, and then as we're stood here on the concourse, people walking past, and I can see him looking, thinking, there's Jay Clark. And maybe those people wouldn't have been doing that yesterday.
No, I don't think they would have either. They didn't have a whole lot of reason to do it. Obviously,
I think that's unfair on yourself. I think they did.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's one of those things. I'm not even close to where I want to be, and obviously I have big aspirations for myself and where I want to take my career. And yeah, like I said, I'm happy with my performance today, but I wish I could have taken a set. And I think that's important for especially younger players to not believe that, oh, that was a good thing, but it's happened now and then that's it. You know, I want to push, I don't want to lose to those guys again.
So you've got mixed doubles still, but what now after Wimbledon?
Schedule's a bit, it's tough to know. I think I'm either playing ATPs in Switzerland and Germany, or I'll go and stay in Germany and play some challenger events. But yeah, that's the next thing.
But this match today surely shows you that your ATP level and challenger isn't beneath you or anything like that, but
yeah,
you're at this eight, because that'll be like 250s, right?
Yeah, ATP 500s in the ATP 500 in Germany, I think it's Hamburg, and then the 250s in Gstaad and Kitzbühel. So those are the tournaments I want to play. Obviously, you're obviously grateful to still be fit and playing like so many tournaments a year, but I don't want to be stuck at the challenger level too long. And I think that's obviously what everyone's advised to do when you're feeling good and you have a good enough ranking to play ATPs, and just go and do it. Because the worst thing that happens is you drop down to challengers rather than just playing good tennis and staying at that level. That's not where I want my game to be, especially this time next year.
And lastly, just thinking about all of today, is this the biggest day in your tennis career so far?
Yeah, definitely. I don't really feel it today. I think looking back on it, it will be. But no, I'm really happy with how the match went. Obviously, like I said, I had a few chances early on that I didn't convert, but it's just one of those things. I'm not sure I'd have converted it against someone lower ranked. Obviously, you think about what could have been and stuff like that when obviously you play Rog. But no, I've just got to do a better job with daily habits and stuff and make sure that it's not a one-time thing.
Actually, I just wanted to ask, you've done a press conference, right? So how have you found all the media attention? Because you'd have been in the main press room rather than one of those smaller rooms.
Yeah.
And you'd have had everyone there. When I was queuing up to get into the court, there were more journalists than I've seen at your matches in the past. So how have you found that attention?
Yeah, obviously it comes when you start winning matches, people obviously want to ask you questions, know a bit about you, and obviously it's nice that people obviously take an interest in obviously all the hard work you put in, not only obviously through this year and through this tournament, but for all the years before. And it's nice that I get to tell a bit about my story to those guys, and hopefully, you know, the goal is to try and inspire. So if someone obviously hears about me, I always try and go back to people that write me messages about tennis and stuff on Instagram. So now if people have messages, I'll always try and help them with their game, and yeah, just give a bit of inspiration.
And that was the final word of Drop Shot Summer: inspiration. And for Jay to have the last word is fitting, as he and Kurt have been our constant companions on our journey throughout the tennis world. And they've both provided us with inspiration. I'm beginning to understand just how hard it is to be a successful athlete. Wherever we've gone, they've been there, and they've given their time and thoughts to us and allowed us into their world, and we hope this journey will continue. Their story should inspire others to pick up a racket and take up tennis, or even be motivation for other pursuits. It doesn't matter what it is, but the message is to do something. Stand up and fight for your dreams and make them a reality. This tour that we embarked on has led us to meet some wonderful characters on both sides of the net, and we would thank everyone for their input. Dropshot will be back. You've been listening to Dropshot, a narrative podcast series written and produced by me, Kerry Levy. Gary Hayes was my co-producer on the series, and when he could be bothered to turn up, also travelled across the UK to record it with me. Taylor Hayes is Dropshot's sound engineer, while Leon Raczynski-Gorman ably assisted on several episodes. Our podcast artwork is by Matt Alabaster, and Jimmy Goodwin composed our music. If you would like to hear more about the series, follow us on Twitter and Instagram. We are at This Is Dropshot. This has been an original production from Highway 61 and Kerry Levy.